Blog Talk Radio.
All right, welcome everybody. We're here a lot tonight. Good to be with you. So Wednesday night, night where we pray and prophesy over every person personally. So thank you for being all with us tonight. Looking forward to it. So it's going to be fun tonight for sure. All right, hallelujah. Let's see what we got going on here. I've been looking at these, you know, I've been telling you guys about you know, I've been going through the books of the Bible that where God is talking to Moses. I mean, a lot. As far as I can tell, he talked to Moses more than he did Jesus as far as this recorded. I don't know whether that literally happened or not, but as far as recorded and documented, God talked to Moses like a whole lot. I mean, like a whole lot. I'm just kind of documenting all of it so I can tell you guys exactly where it's at, and I'm enjoying doing it and learning a lot. I've seen a lot of things that I had, you know, I've read it many times, but I didn't really grasp it, and starting to grasp a little more of it and enjoying it, watching the Lord, you know, just show me things I just really didn't know about and giving me some understanding a little bit on it. And grateful for that. So I plan on trying to share some of that with you to broaden your knowledge of, you know, the Bible and the Word of God and the things that God has done, why he did them, how he did them, at least from my perspective, what the way I see it, the way God's showing me, and through the Spirit of Revelation, I believe. So looking forward to sharing it with you. Let's go here and see what we can find and see what we can get into, see what kind of trouble we can get into in the Word of God, or give the devil the kind of trouble we can give the enemy, right? We're going to war, going to battle, and being trained many years for the warfare ahead of us, for the battle ahead of us, and so I plan on enjoying myself, though it's a very serious thing. I'm excited about it. Anyway. To kind of show you what's going on with all this, I am, I've been looking at the Word of God, and I want to tell you guys a few little things about this, and we can talk about it more later. But, you know, like I said, Moses talked to God more than anybody that I ever know of, and I've ever seen, of course, I know God spoke to the prophets. He spoke to Samuel, you know, a lot, to a lot of the prophets, Jeremiah, and others. And so, you know, but I've never seen anything like this before, and I know I've talked about it before, but I want to really get into it with you and, you know, so that you can know and understand that this really happened. I mean, it's really amazing. In fact, the whole book of Leviticus, I'm talking about the whole book, was the Lord spoke to Moses. I mean, I'm talking about every chapter, every verse. I think one time for maybe a paragraph, Moses talked to the people for about a paragraph of the whole book of Leviticus. You know, I mean, I'm documenting this. I went through it all today and recording it on my you know, my notes and, you know, writing down the important things. I mean, in the details, this is unbelievable. I tell you, it's been a brand new thing for me. So I think that the reason God is revealing this to us is because it shows what he wants to do. And he did this in the Old Testament. This isn't New Testament stuff. This is Old Testament stuff. He did this under the Old Covenant. He found somebody he could talk to, and he talked to him, right? I mean, that's what I want to be. I want to be one of those people that God can talk to. You know, he doesn't need to give us any more, quote, laws or instructions on how to eat, because we have them all, or how to live. We have all those there. But I don't know about you, but I want to be available. That what this does for me is it stirs me up going, if God talked to Moses this much, I mean, this the whole book of Leviticus. Yeah, the whole book of Leviticus. And then he gave him, and this had nothing to do with the tabernacle and the building. He wanted him, the building, you know, when he went up to on the mountain and God gave him instructions on how to build the tabernacle, that within itself is amazing. And that's not even in Leviticus. He gave him so much detailed instructions on everything. And I really believe that the reason that I'm so inspired by this and so overwhelmed by this right now in a beautiful way is because this is watering the knowing inside of me that we can have this kind of relationship with God. I mean, if John the Baptist was the greatest of the old, of all the Old Testament prophets, he never did a miracle. God spoke to him very few times that I know of. He was on a mission and he did his mission. And it was awesome. And Jesus said, he's the greatest one of the old. So I think what means great before God is a completely different than what great is, you know, for what you and I think great is, right? So great is, I think great in God's eyes is completely different. I think we need to really look at this. I think we're going to look at this and we're going to see what great in God's eyes is. And to understand that, you know, when God says, somebody's great, what does that mean exactly? I mean, if John never did a miracle, not one miracle did John do, John the Baptist, right? Not one thing that he did miraculously. He baptized Jesus. I mean, I guess that's probably amazing that he was the prophet who was there when Christ had arrived, which was, you know, and of all the privileges that anybody could have is to immerse Christ in the water and beg him to please, you know, I need to be baptized by you. What are you doing? He said, we need to fulfill this, John. You got to fulfill this. We're the old is passing away and the new is beginning. And isn't it amazing that he used a priest, John the Baptist was of the Levitical priesthood. Now, the whole book of Leviticus is about the Levitical priest, about God talking to him about all the offerings and how they did it and, you know, how to deal with them, how to mix this with that and, you know, how to offer, where to apply the blood and all the different ways they applied the blood and all the different things. There's a lot to it. Now, we don't need that anymore, but when you get some insight from it, it kind of shows you what goes on in the spirit realm. I believe all this stuff that God did, of course, we know now that it's representative of what Christ did on the cross of Calvary, and he became the offering, and that all the things his blood does and all the things in the ways that we can apply the blood for our freedom and our deliverance and our salvation to the fullest is in the secret place of these scriptures. You know, and I've seen people try to interpret them before, and I don't know if they got off or not. I don't know. It's been so long that I can't remember, but it's amazing that, you know, God has me going through this stuff. I mean, I literally went through the whole book of Leviticus today and wrote down every scripture that had God speaking to Moses, and I wrote down, copied and pasted it. It's a bit easier than writing it down. And, you know, went through the whole thing. From chapter 1 to, you know, the last chapter. And so it was really, really cool to do all that. And, I mean, there are, let's see, how many chapters are there in Leviticus? Leviticus 25, the last chapter, 26, 27. Yeah. The last chapter is, there's 27 chapters in the book of Leviticus where God is talking to Moses, and most scriptures open up and it says, like Leviticus 27, the last book of Leviticus says, now the Lord spoke to Moses saying, and then he starts speaking to him. And Moses is writing this stuff down. I mean, he had to write it all down. Who could remember all of this or much of any of it? You know, so they had ways of writing, I think, that maybe were a little bit different. I don't understand. I still can't comprehend how he wrote all that down because, I mean, when you see how much God spoke to him, it was unbelievable. Unbelievable. And so, so really, it's truly amazing. Chapter 26 had, that's one chapter where the Lord is talking, but it doesn't have the Lord talking to Moses, but the Lord is talking. Of course, all this is written down by Moses. You know, chapter 25, the Lord speaks to Moses on Mount Sinai, tells him all this stuff, and then the whole chapter is about what God said to him. Moses didn't go, hey, hang on a second, I got a question. Can you slow down a little bit? I'm trying to write this stuff down. There was no anything. It was just completely, you know, one thing after the other, after the other, after the other, after the other. About verse chapter 24, about the tabernacle, lamps, you know, about each, many of the items in the tabernacle, like, you know, the care of the tabernacle lamps. And then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, command the children of Israel that they bring me pure oil, pressed olives. So God is saying to Moses, hey, tell them to bring me some good oil, pressed olives for the light. We need some light in here. And to make the lamps burn continually. You know, he wanted the light to burn continually, which is a symbolic thing, right? And then so God is telling him all this stuff. You know, this isn't Moses discerning something and writing it down. God is speaking to him. I love this stuff. He talks about the feast, you know, the Sabbath day. You know, the Lord speaks to Moses and says, speak to the children of Israel and tell them, 6 days shall you, you're talking about the Sabbath, 6 days shall you, so work be done. But the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall not work in it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. And so it talks about this, about how to, you know, do all this stuff in explicit detail, y'all, and he's writing this stuff down. So how much do you think God wants to speak to us? Now, we don't need all this information because it's already written, right? All we need is revelation on it. But it tells you that God is wanting to talk. He's wanting to talk to his people. Can he talk to you? Will you listen to him? Or will you argue with him like sometimes we do? Will you tell him, you know, what you think needs to happen and the way you think it should be done? You know, if you were God, this is what you would do. You know, so it's really amazing. Yeah, how that, you know, God is just looking for somebody that'll just say, okay, take off, and he just starts writing it all down. It's amazing. Chapter 22, Leviticus 22, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, opens up the chapter, says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, chapter 22. Almost every one of them. And even though sometimes it doesn't say the Lord spoke to Moses about it, it's him kind of starting the next chapter without saying it. He's still speaking to him, right? For 28 chapters. I keep getting lost on this. I just went through this first time today. Yeah, 27 chapters. 27 chapters, y'all. And God is speaking to him, paragraph after paragraph after paragraph. It's amazing. Literally amazing. Anyway, I'm going to get much more into that, but I'm just letting you guys know I'm working on this. I'm literally going through every one of them and looking at all of them and studying them. I think God's really getting me. I think one of the reasons that I'm getting involved in this is because of the building of the tabernacle that they're going to be doing in Israel. And not that we need that either. I don't need it. You don't need it. We are the temple, and Christ is our, you know, our temple, right? He's the one that we dwell in. But, you know, they're going to build a temple, and it's going to be a sign of, you know, where we're at in the end times, a definite sign of that. I think, like was mentioned last night about, you know, I think I had Nicole on the show with me last night. We talked a lot about a lot of things, so go back and listen to the show if you get a chance. And she says that one thing she's looking for is when they get approval to build the temple, that's going to be a major sign of where we are. She's talking like that in her eyes of knowing, studying the book of Revelation, that her biggest thing is that very thing, when they get the green light to build the temple. And so here I am today, you know, just I've been wanting to do this for a while, started going through all the offerings. You know, like I said, we don't need these offerings, right? These are not for us to do, but they all have a symbolic meaning to them. And I think God is brushing me up on all this stuff because of what some of the things we're going to be doing in Israel and with the temple and that kind of thing. And so, you know, as far as, you know, prophesying about it, because sometimes, you know, what God does, because one of the things I'm going to be doing personally, I know, is prophesying to Israel. You know, like I said, you know, you guys know about Michael. Michael came to visit me a couple times, you know, once in a dream, and then another sense came to me. And but the one that was most impactful to me was where he came and, you know, came in an executive vehicle. I saw exactly what his face looked like. I know exactly what he looks like. He knows what I look like. He's looking at me, right? And then my Hebrew language and all that. So I'm able to having the Hebrew language as one of my, as my first tongue God gave me when I got baptized with the Holy Spirit, I spoke in other tongues. And as the Bible gives us utterance through that, and then the guy interpreted the tongue of Hebrew, the Hebrew tongue that I had, which I didn't know it was Hebrew, and said I was saying Christ was being exalted at the right hand of the Father, which was the highest level of anything I could ever imagine anybody praying. Right, is Christ is being exalted at the right hand of the Father, and which is everything. And anyway, so the fact that we are the Hebrew language, you know, we read Hebrew scriptures. I don't read Hebrew. I'm reading in English, and I have do pretty good with English. But anyway, so the connection with Michael and the temple. And all the things that he's going to do, he's going to be a part of. He's going to cast Satan out of the heavens. Remember that? So he must be one powerful dude. And he just looks like a regular guy. I mean, I don't know how regular he looked like, but he's a nice-looking, you know, mailman. He's a male, and he looks like a man. And wavy black hair, kind of combed back mostly, and just, you know, pretty cool. So getting to know and studying and looking at all this stuff about the offerings in Leviticus, that's what Leviticus is talking about a lot, is the offerings, and it talks about a lot of different things, but the sin offerings, the trespass offerings, the offerings of restitution, the laws about the burnt offerings, the grain offerings, the sin offerings, you know, all the laws, the peace offering, you know, all the ways they do the, you know, specific details in the fat and the blood that may not be eaten, you know, the portion of the Aaron's, the portion that belongs to Aaron and his sons, that belong to the priest. You know, we're gonna have priests. You know, we don't need them personally, but when it comes to the sign that we're gonna the major signs we're going to have, and we're going to be a part of it, is the building of the temple. We're going to see that happen in our lifetime, or at least in my lifetime. And as we see that happen, you know, I have a feeling that the reason I'm going through all this stuff and seeing how important it was for God to get this information to Moses directly, not a discerning, I feel like the God is saying, the Lord is saying, wait a minute. Now I'm getting something. Yeah, here we go. No, it wasn't like that. It was like sitting down talking with Moses. And you know that this is important, or God wouldn't have sat down with him and talked about it for months and maybe years, all the different stuff. I'm going to share all of it with you. I don't know how long he talked to him, but it was not a short season. And again, I don't know how he wrote it all down, but he did. So this is so important to God that he sat down with Moses and explained it all to him. And today it just means nothing. Well, it's not that we need it. It's that it means something. And there's a tremendous significance of importance to it that I feel like God's going to show me things, and it's going to be really, really cool. And so when we are dealing with the things in the temple and around the temple, and Michael, you know, the head angel over Israel, the archangel, if you will, watching over Israel, is going to be, you know, watching over the temple and making sure things get done, right? That's his job. And so we are very connected to that. So it's really cool. And anyway, so I'm really absorbing all this stuff, and I'll be sharing with you guys what I get out of it. I know it's not, I'm not really saying a whole lot yet, but I'm making this one point that how important that it was that God speaks to us plainly and clearly. Right. If he can, God can find somebody that'll listen to him. I don't know how he knew Moses would listen to him. I don't know that. I don't understand that. But God spoke to Moses because he obviously was going to listen to him. And Moses was not perfect. Right. Yeah. And so, and then you get into the next book in the book of Numbers. And the book of Numbers is starting all over again. And so I'm just now getting into that. I'm in chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. I'm into chapter 7 on Numbers. I did all this today. And again, it opens up, you know, chapter 1 of the book of Numbers is about God speaking to Moses. Again, I don't know how far it goes. I haven't gone all the way through it. But it opens up to chapter 1. It says the first census of Israel, where they, you know, counted the people. The Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai. In the tabernacle of meeting, tells you exactly where he's meeting with him, not up on the mountain. You know, he's in a tabernacle of meeting. And the first day of the second month, and he said, you know, we're going to start counting, numbering the people. And he told him how he's going to do it, the tribes and the leaders by armies, the sons of Aaron, the Levites. Talks about how the Levites are going to serve the tabernacle. And everything is right here saying, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, the Lord spoke, and he starts telling him everything. He says, you're going to number all the firstborn males of the children of Israel from a month old and above, and take a number of their name. Take the number of their names, and you shall take the Levites for me. I am the Lord, instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel. So he goes on. I mean, this is God talking to Moses, and Moses is somehow writing this stuff down. I mean, you cannot make this stuff up. A lot of our laws, a lot of our laws that we have today are built around the Judeo-Christian, around this right here. They're built around not this particular thing, but about the laws of Moses. And because God talks about how to deal with criminals, how to deal with people when there's an accident and somebody, you know, does something by accident and they do it on purpose and all the different ways, it talks about every bit of it in detail. And God is sitting down and he's telling Moses in detail how to deal with when somebody borrows something and it gets lost, and somehow how do they restore it, and what do they do about it? If somebody gives you their coat to hold for a loan that they got, and he said if they haven't paid the loan back yet, make sure and give them their coat back so they can have something to sleep in. I mean, this is God, y'all, talking to Moses. It just shows you. I mean, he even tells him how to cook. This is literally amazing. He tells him how to cook. So remember I told you Jesus likes to cook? You know, we know Jesus cooked fish for the disciples many times. Yeah, he tells Moses, it's like he's saying, it's like the cooking show from heaven. You know, Moses is like, okay, you know how they have these cooking shows on the TV program. You know? The cooking shows, you know, from heaven, and God starts saying, you know, mix this fine flour with that, and don't put that. He tells him what to put and what not to put, and how to cook things, and what to boil them in. And I mean, everything, it's amazing. Yeah. So some of you have been asking me about this, where's some of this at, and I'm telling you, it's all over the place, but today I went through Leviticus, and every chapter, the whole book, except for maybe two or three paragraphs of the book, of the whole 27 chapters, is nothing, and it starts nothing but God speaking to Moses. And it starts out and says, and the Lord spoke to Moses saying, And then it just rattles on about details. You know, whatever the man, it says, like, the sanctity of the blood. He talks about the sanctity of blood. The sanctity of blood. He said, don't be drinking blood. If you do, I'm not going to be happy with you. You know, speak to the sons of Aaron, his sons, and all the children of Israel. Whatever a man, whatever man of the house of Israel who kills an ox or a lamb or goat in the camp or kills it outside the camp and does not bring it to the door of the tabernacle of meeting to offer an offering to the Lord before the tabernacle of the Lord, the guilt and bloodshed shall be imputed to that man. He has shed blood. So he talks all about this stuff about, you know, killing people and killing animals. And I mean, the details, and he says, don't eat blood. He said, verse 10, and whatever man of the house of Israel or of the strangers who dwell among you who eats any blood, I will set my face against that person who eats blood and will cut him off from among his people. For the life is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for your soul. And he talks about, you know, the sanctity of blood and all things I've never even heard of in my life. Right. And then he goes on to, you know, the laws of sexual morality. And he talks about all about that. Yeah, the moral and ceremonial laws, you know, and it says the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to all the congregation of Israel that I am holy. And every one of you shall revere his mother and his father and keep my Sabbaths. Amen. when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of the field, nor shall you gather the gleaning of your harvest. And you shall not glean your vineyards, neither shall you gather every grape of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord. Right? Yeah, and then he talks about all the penalties of breaking the law. Yeah, I mean, it's just the details here. The regulations for conduct of priests, telling them how to be and how to act and how to treat. The Lord said to Moses, speak to the priests, the sons of Aaron, and say to them, none shall defile himself for the dead among his people, except for his relatives who are nearest to him, his mother, his father, son, and daughter, and brother, and his virgin sister who is near to him, who has no husband, for her he may defile himself. Otherwise, he may not defile himself, being a chief man among his people. He may not profane himself. He's talking about defiling yourself with the dead. I mean, you have to understand, this stuff goes on and on and on and on. Yeah, he talks about everything, literally everything, y'all. How to dress, how to eat, telling Moses face to face. The most remarkable thing I have ever seen in my born days. And I'm going to be hitting this off and on just to kind of get you guys in up with me on kind of what I'm trying to learn here from all this. And we're going to share more things about it. He shares everything. I mean, I'm just going through this thing. It's just amazing. Yeah, it's literally amazing. Redeeming persons and property dedicated to God. Redeeming persons and property dedicated to God. And the Lord said to Moses, speak to the children of Israel. He tells them how to deal with things. When a man consecrates by a vow certain persons to the Lord, according to your valuation is of a male for 20 years old up to 60 years old, then your valuation shall be 50 shekels of silver, according to the shekel of a sanctuary. If it's a female, then your valuation shall be 30 shekels. I mean, it's just everything, man. Everything. Yeah. So we're going to be touching on this, and I'm going to tell you where it's at in case you want to look some of these things up. I'll tell you whatever area you're interested in, I'll be telling you where it's at so that you can look at it for yourself. And, he talks about confessions and restitution. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, and then he talks about it, how when a man or a woman commits any sin that men commit in unfaithfulness against the Lord, that person is guilty. And he shall confess the sin when he has committed it. He shall make restitution for his trespass in full, plus one-fifth of it, and give it to the one who was wrong. But the man has no relative to whom restitution may be made by for the wrong. The restitution for the wrong must go to the Lord and for the priest. I mean, you know, look at that. God is telling Moses that. And the Lord spoke to Moses and said, that's the whole book of Leviticus and Numbers is starting out like this too. And the Lord spoke, and the Lord spoke, and the Lord spoke. And then Moses just listened and wrote it down. This is what I'm craving this, y'all, craving this stuff. And I think that God is getting us ready for, you know, the end times in a lot of different ways. And also, it's not just about the end times. It's about being prepared for the future so that we can be, if you will, ahead of the crowd in the sense that we're going to be knowledgeable on these things and know where it's at in the Bible and that God said it to Moses directly. And look it up in every language, you know, every version of the Bible, and kind of get a general. And we're going to kind of go through this little by little, and it's going to be amazing, really, really amazing. So I thought I'd hit you guys with that a little bit tonight, and I'm really excited about it. So just let you kind of know what I'm doing, what's going on, where I'm at with all this. Right, so you can walk alongside me on it. And kind of know what we're going to be getting into and the purpose of it all. If it doesn't have a purpose, then what good is it, right? All right, here we go. Okay, so where do I want to go now? Thank you, Jesus. Let me go ahead and take callers tonight. And if I get going, I'm going to get caught up into this. And yeah, one thing I found here, and just kind of a whole different thing going on here, but this is about in Luke 7:33, it says, "For John the Baptizer came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say he has a demon." All right, John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, says very specifically, and you say he has a demon. The next verse 34, says, "The Son of Man has come eating and drinking. And you say, behold, a gluttonous man and a drunkard and a friend of tax collectors and sinners." So, I mean, if you read that and you read that again and again and again and you look at it real close, you're going to see some things about the Lord that you've never seen before. Right. And you know, I study these things and I'm going like, you know, Jesus made wine. And I don't know if the wine was different from what it is today. I don't know. But obviously, whatever it was, he drank some of it because it said, you know, they knew John didn't eat much and didn't drink any wine because he had a vow, right? Jesus didn't have that vow. John the Baptist had a Nazarite vow. And so he didn't, you know, he didn't eat and drink things. He couldn't eat and drink things. It's like, you know, some people in the Bible that we know of, that took Nazarite vows, one of the things they couldn't do was drink wine, right? They couldn't drink it. And so it would defile them. You know, Samuel was like that, and he couldn't cut his hair, couldn't drink wine, and do some other things. I can't remember what they were, but John the Baptist was kind of the same way. He came neither eating bread, in other words, he fasted a lot, and he didn't drink wine, so specifically. And you say he has a demon. In other words, it's not going to matter what you do. A religious spirit is going to be judging you according to what they think about, you know, whatever they're in the mode for that day. So you got to learn how to deal with all this stuff and realize that, you know, people are going to be doing what they're going to be doing. Make sure you know what you're doing before God. And if you know that, and if you're obeying biblical, the scriptures, then you're going to be fine. So, because the same thing with Jesus, you know, they knew that he made wine at a wedding feast, right? And so, you know, Jesus just ate regularly. You know, he didn't make people fast. He said, "Why do people want to fast when the bridegroom is here? So we're going to feast. We're going to party. We're going to have some fun." You know, and he loved to cook, all kinds of things that Jesus loved to do. And when you see that, when I start seeing this with God, when God starts telling Moses, you know, how to cook things, I'm going like, Jesus was probably the best cook in town. The best cook in town. He loved to eat, right? I mean, we got to get this. We got to get if we can get Jesus right in our mind and our understanding, we're going to get rid of a lot of our religious thinking and start thinking clearly, like true God-fearing human beings that are born again. Right? John the Baptizer came neither eating nor drinking because he had a Nazarite vow, nor drinking wine. And you say he has a demon. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking. Eating and drinking what? Yeah. And you say, behold, a gluttonous man and a drunkard. He tells you what they're talking about, what he was drinking. But he wasn't a drunkard. He didn't get. He wasn't. He didn't drink to get drunk. Like some people, you know. I've never seen this before, y'all. I've been going through this stuff. I mean, I've been examining the Word of God in a brand new way with my new mind that God's been giving me, and I go through things. Things just become more simple. I'm just looking at this, going like, you can't twist that. You can't mess that up. I mean, it says right there what's going on. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, behold, a gluttonous man, which is about eating, and a drunkard, which is about drinking wine, and a friend of tax collectors and sinners. So what they do is they exaggerate everything you do, and they turn, I have a sweet tooth, you know, once a week, I have my float, I talk about it all the time. It's like somebody saying, none of you would do this, of course, but somebody saying, oh, we know that he drinks his milkshake or his Coke float once a week. He is a sugarholic and a pig. You know, that's kind of what that would be. Do I have a Coke float once a week, or at least a milkshake or something once a week? Yes. And so, but these people, they take everything and they exaggerate it and make you into a demon. or whatever. And you're going to start seeing this stuff. I'm seeing things in the Word of God that I've never seen or noticed before or taken, you know, just because you know what's happened with me? God has been taking any religious spirit off of me and giving me a relationship with Jesus and a relationship with the Father that, and I've always had that, but it's just been changing. It's been changing into, I'm enjoying life. The vision dream I had of him laughing, I've been laughing for a while, but it took me a while to laugh. And because I didn't see Jesus as a laugher. I saw him as a very serious person trying to, you know, win the world. And therefore, that's what I was doing, because that's the way I saw him. When I saw him as a laughing person who had fun and enjoyed and obviously liked eating, right? He has come eating and drinking, and he's a gluttonous. In other words, they were saying what they thought about his eating, that he probably ate a lot. But he was not a glutton, as we know, and he wasn't a drunkard, as we know. But they take his eating and his drinking and exaggerate it like people do for us today. The same thing. I mean, I've had it done to me, and I'm sure you've had it done to you, too. We've all had this done to us to a certain degree. People don't like us. Oh, yeah, I saw him one day. He was drinking a milkshake. Yeah, he was at the Fina over there, and I saw him, and he came. Yeah, he had a little pint of ice cream, and I know that. Okay, do you eat perfect? we got you, man. You know, I mean, this is what this is right here, y'all. And I've been that way toward people before too. I've done it. I've done this. Everything I'm talking about on the negative side, I've done all this. You know, and God's going like, Chandler, I want to wake you up. I want you to see the Word. So I'm seeing the Word of God in a purity that I've never seen before. I'm not reading it with a religious cloak on, with a religious lens on, shading everything that I want shaded to fit into my religious sense so I can make sure all my friends are happy with the way I believe. You know, instead, you start fearing the Lord that you want God to be pleased with what you believe and what you do. And, so it's really, really good. Really, really, really good. And I've been going through a scripture, as you can tell. Like I said today, I spent the whole day going through the whole book of Leviticus and part of Numbers. I think I made it through the first seven or eight chapters of Numbers, going through it. And it's amazing, y'all. It is amazing. I'm loving my new brain, by the way. Thank you for asking about that. I'm loving my new brain. I'm just getting started with it. It's opening me up to some beautiful things. I thought I'd never see, and I never thought I was missing. I didn't know I was missing all this stuff. Sometimes you don't know you're missing something until you get it, right? Yeah, and so this has really been awesome. And, yeah, so anyway, thank you for your prayers, you guys. I love you. Thank you very much for your prayers, for your compassion, for everything you do and your love for PGN and how you, you know, you're looking for the truth like I am. I'm looking for the truth. I want the truth of Jesus. I don't want your or my religious tainted truth telling me what I'm supposed to believe. And if I don't believe it, you're going to reject me. You know, when you get to fear in the Lord, you don't fear what people do anymore. You don't fear what people do. You don't become rebellious against them, but you don't fear what they think. And it's really an amazing place to be. All right. So there you go tonight. I'm just sharing little nuggets with you as we go along here. So hopefully you're enjoying some of that. And hang on a second here. Yeah, I want you to meditate on that. On that thing, I've been meditating. I meditate on the word. Meditating on the word of God is what opens you up to living in it. You know, you draw it into you, and you let yourself be drawn into it, and you absorb it instead of trying to intellectually figure it out. Well, they can't be saying Jesus drank wine. They can't be saying that he ate a lot. It can't be saying that. It can't be saying he enjoyed food. Because, you know, we know Jesus, you know, he probably fasted a lot. And, you know, we all have these images of what we think he is, what he was. And I got a feeling that if as we see the real Christ, the real God, the real Lord Jesus, the real God the Father, the real Holy Spirit, you know, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, when we start seeing them, who they are and what they really are, it's going to blow our minds. I think it's really going to blow our minds. All right. Looking forward to it. You can share with me what you're getting out of it. I'll share with you what I'm getting out of it. And hopefully we'll come up with something really awesome from God and learn a lot. All right. So look at Luke 7:33, Luke 7:34, and read it and meditate on it. And don't try to tell it what it's saying, but absorb it into your system. It's called meditation. Absorbing it into you and letting it you meditate. You dwell on it. You walk it through what it's really saying with the help of the Holy Spirit. Absolutely. All right. And it's really, really, really awesome. All right. My first caller tonight, 720-819. My second caller, 863-605. Third, 214-646. Then 202 after that, 325 after that, 915 after that, 610 after that, 910 after that, 111 after that, 803 after that, 402 after that. And then we have four or five people who don't have their hand up. Oh, there you go. 303 after that. Get that hand up there. I'm heading that direction. If you want to get in, I know a lot of people raise your hand after the first hour or so of the show. Make sure you don't get late because I'll miss you. And because when somebody doesn't show up and I finish my last caller and then nobody shows up for 15 minutes, I'm gone. Okay, there's 205. See you, 205. 205, 715. People are starting to get in there. I guess they know I'm getting ready. Thank you very much for that. And people get in there. So just letting you know where you're at in line. And thank you for getting in early. All right, let's take our first caller tonight, 720-819. Who am I talking to from, please? Hello, 720-819. Are you there? Hello, 720. 81. Yes. Hello. Who am I talking to? Where are you from, please?
Hey, Randy. You got Jeff, Zach, and Yuki on the line. I got Zach. He's a new caller in tonight.
Oh, okay. Wonderful. Oh, great.
Good evening.
Right. Good to have you. Hey, Zach. All right, Zach. I'm going to pray for you. Hang on
Zach
a second.
Zach in Texas.
Zach in Texas. Oh. Zach. He's a Texas boy. Y'all starting to move up in life. Sounds like me. Hanging out with Texas boys. All right, Zach from Texas. All right, thank you very much for that. Thank you, Jesus, for Zach, God. Thank you, Lord, for God is having you consider a lot of new things, Zach. He's having you to, you know, meditate and consider new things, new procedures, new ways of doing things. is like God is going to train your mind how to do things the God way. In other words, the way God made them, the way God created them, the way God thinks about them, and get it on your mind. Like the mind of Christ is really just like we talked about tonight, where God even spoke to Moses. I know he spoke to Jesus, you know, a lot too. It's just not recorded, all the things he said to him. But you know, when you start getting the mind of God and you start seeing how God thinks about things, you know, okay, how does God think about this? Does he think about what I'm doing is good, bad, neutral? So you start seeing, you know, and you start adjusting your life to the Word of God, and you're thinking in the way you do things and the way you don't do things according to the Word of God. What happens is you start thinking like he thinks. And when you start thinking like God thinks, you start doing things the God way, you know, the way God wants you to do them. And he's our creator. He's our Lord. He made us. He knows exactly what makes us function, what makes us work. And he's going to show you how things function and how they work. And if you do it in line with what he's doing, the way he says it, and you know, I'm talking about God. God is one of the greatest inventors that we've ever seen and known. He invents all kinds of things. In fact, every invention, he's a creator. He's an inventor. And those that will listen to him, he will create through them and invent to them, because they start getting their eyes on not the limitations of man. Like man says, yeah, we can't improve the wheel much, can't improve, you know, this much and that much. But God says, no, you don't understand. I got a way of doing things that is way beyond even thing they've even ever thought of. And I can give it to you if you listen to me. But listening to God, Zach, means that we understand how he thinks. Therefore, we don't think like, you know, limited human beings think. We think like, we start learning how to think like God thinks, and we start thinking like God thinks according to his word. Then you start thinking at high levels. And believe it or not, dude, we have been created to think like he thinks. He made us in his image and in his likeness. Therefore, we are made to think like he thinks. Right? Because we are created in his image and in his likeness. Therefore, we are made to think his thoughts and think the way he thinks. But what's happened is man fell and got away from God. And now God is bringing us back. And that's one of the reasons I think I'm talking about this thing with Moses tonight. You know, the whole chapter of the whole book of Leviticus, which is 27 chapters, is nothing but God talking. 27 chapters of God talking to somebody and then writing it down. You know, it's amazing, because the reason Moses lived so long and was so powerful and so strong is because God spoke to him. He got those things in his mind, and therefore that made him great. He became great. He became awesome. Amen. So let God make you awesome. Let him show you his ways, because when you do things his way, the world can't take it away from you. They can't destroy you. They can't take you down. You don't lose. You win, and let God make you a winner. Amen, in Jesus' name. All right, Jeff and Uke, thank you, Lord, for Jeff from Colorado. Thank you, Lord, for Jeff and Uke. Thank you, Lord, for Uke tonight, God, that you're making ways where there seems to be no way, you know, causing her to see the ways that, you know, we come short on. Like every time we come short on something, that means that we need to learn something new. It's never condemnation. It's never, you know, you bad kid, whatever. It's like, you know, it's learning time. It's kind of, and God has put a real hunger in you to learn and to know the ways of God and to know the ways that work. And you've experimented. You're going to experiment with things, and God's going to let you be like a scientist in many ways. You're going to experiment with things and see, you know, okay, put an acid test of this. Somebody else said this works. And I think that God telling me this works, and so you put the acid test to the things God showed you, and hey, wow, that really does work. And the acid test on the things other people said that weren't necessarily about a half God and half not God, it just melted it, half of it. They end up with half of what they had. And so, so God's showing you how to, you know, not be afraid to test things out, to prove, you know, what's good and what's not good. What's value? What's a value? And what's not a value? Right? And be able to test it, whether it be wisdom, whether it be knowledge, whether it be ideas, whatever it is, to learn to put the test before the Lord. Because when the Lord tests something, he tests it with his wisdom, with his knowledge, with his power. And if it can be destroyed, by, you know, fire or whatever. That's why he says that the gold and the silver and the precious stones, that the fire was not going to devour them, right, or destroy them, but everything else was going to be destroyed. So God's showing you how to know how to understand from wisdom on down to how to do things the ways of God, so that the world, when the world falls apart, when the world, you know, decides to go a different direction, you're already a step ahead of them. Amen. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Jeff tonight, God. We thank you, Lord, for the step, the steps of a righteous man are you know, ordered of the Lord. They are ordered of the Lord. I see God really giving you orders, showing you orders in the order realm, how to take orders, how to give orders, how to fulfill orders of all kinds, you know, how to take orders, fill orders, and yeah, so something about orders. Give orders, that sounds like fun, doesn't it? Yeah. Do what I say or else. No, but like giving orders and being able to, like, that's what Jesus did. He gave orders to, he spoke over, you know, dead body parts, and he said, he gave orders to it. He said, come alive. He spoke over dead people that were dead and on their way to being buried. He said, come forth, and Jesus, that, you know, come forth and live. And you know, he gave orders. You know, when we give when the voice of God is in our voice, the things, the natural material of the earth hears the voice of God, because who made it? God did. So when we speak by the Spirit of God and by the wisdom of God, then the earth will listen to us. The earth, you can walk on the water, because why? The water, you know, knows that, you know, you have authority over it, right? Your voice, the voice of God, the voice of the Holy Spirit is the highest voice that we can have, that we can walk in. And it has power and authority over all things. It rules and reigns over all things. It speaks and gives orders, and it takes dominion over something and tells it what to do according to what the Lord God is saying. And the authority of, like with Moses and Aaron, and they threw down the rod, and their rod ate up, you know, the other guy's rod. Well, those guys were highly trained. They were not in Pharaoh's court because they were like some half-baked magicians. No, they were heavy-duty magicians who were and strong, and when he stood before them and put his rod down there, that the rod of God, you know, ate at their rod. And so you're going to start seeing a lot of that. God's going to show you how to walk in that place where your rod swallows up the rod of those who, you know, are just second rate, you know, not really made from God or made by God. And be able to order, you know, things that God is doing to come back to life again. Bring things that have been dead, that have gone away, that have been that have lost their life. That God doesn't want that to die. He doesn't want that to end, and he wants you to speak life back into it. All right. Let's go here to 803-863-605. We'll talk to you soon, please.
Hey, Randy, it's Charles and Nikki from Florida, and could you pray for my mom, Sue?
Absolutely. All right. Good to have you guys tonight. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Charles, Nikki, and Mom. Hang on a second here. Okay. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Nikki and Charles. Thank you, Lord, for Nikki's mom tonight, God. We thank you, Lord, for just allowing her you know, that you intervene in her life. Even, you know, sometimes when something belongs to somebody, like if we're going to be passing something down to someone or to people in our, to those who have been obeying God, those are the ones, just like when Jacob, even though Jacob, in a sense, stole the blessing belonged to him because his own mother, the reason his mother, Jacob's mother, helped him take the blessing from Esau was because Esau was, you know, just, you know, even God told Jacob's mother that he was going to be the favored one. And so what did she do? She worked it. She worked it. And it was some pretty wild working. But, you know, it's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, not Abraham, Isaac, and Esau, because Esau would have, you know, not had godly women. He would have had the Canaanite women, you know, and then therefore we'd never have a Christ, believe that or not. We'd never have a Christ if it hadn't been for Jacob having the blessing, because the blessing was on him, and he was the one who was the chosen one. And so when you see how that they went for, they worked it, they did some, you know, some people would say some shenanigans in some people's eyes, but she was basically doing that by faith. I mean, she was stepping out by faith, saying, you know, some people just don't understand. When God wants to do something, sometimes he has us go in, and by faith we do some prophetic acts or whatever that are totally just people just like going, well, you did what? Like when Isaac was offered up by Jacob, I mean by Abraham, when Abraham offered up Isaac, you know, I mean, that was like, you did what? You went to offer up your child? You say, huh? We don't do that stuff, you know. So it was by faith. Is what was by faith? God told him to do it. What did God tell Jacob's mother, who they ended up getting the blessing instead of Esau? God told her, you read the story. God told her, the blessed one is Jacob. And so she did by faith what was to get Jacob the blessing for God's sake, for the sake of the Messiah, because Jacob bore, you know, Joseph and Benjamin and the 12 tribes, and the 12 tribes, you know, brought forth you know, the Christ, actually, in the long haul. And so all that would have been messed up had not Jacob's mother, you know, done that act of faith by telling her son to go in and tell her father that he was Esau. It's crazy. Some of the things that go on in the Bible are unbelievable, but they are amazing when we look at them. If people have to actually read the scripture to see that God actually told her that. So anyway, so thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for working all that. And Jesus' name, and Nikki and her mom, and giving wisdom how to let them know they're hearing your voice by faith. They're walking by faith. They're doing things by faith. They're activating things by faith, Father. And that's the only way sometimes you can do it. I mean, what she did, it seemed like it was wrong in most people's eyes. It's like, you know, Jacob was known as a wheeler and dealer, but it's his mother. Really, the mother was the one who heard from God about it, and then, you know, yeah, Jacob was whatever for a while, but he was the blessed one. So God had to get somebody to do it, and Mama was a willing. was her name Rebecca? Was that Rebecca? Which I get the wives mixed up, but whichever one is Jacob's mom. And, yeah, so anyway, very awesome. All right, there you go. And for that's for you and your mom. It's kind of a mixed together thing, I think. Thank you, Jesus, for Charles, God. We thank you, Lord, for blessing him, God. We thank you for giving him peace and wisdom, Lord, on how to walk the walk and talk the talk that you have called him to, not that other people think he should be doing, but the things that you said he should be doing, that he will walk that walk and talk that talk, God, and do the things you've called him to do, knowing that he's standing before God, that one day he's going to stand before the Lord, God Almighty, and God's going to bless and reward you according to what he told you to do, not necessarily what people said or thought, but what God said. And so as you show him more and more how the wisdom of how to walk in that level, amen. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. All right, cool. All right, 214-646. Talk to Lou Frim, please.
Hey, Randy. It's Tanton Tanisha from Texas.
Hey, y'all.
Hey.
All right.
Unmuted.
Sorry, were you saying?
Sorry, were you adding anything to that? Oh,
no, Terrence just said hey, too.
Oh, he said hey, okay.
Oh, he said
I thought
hey,
I heard
okay.
An echo. Hey. It was a hey echo. Hey, echo. Yeah, all right. I just wanted to sure, I want to make sure I didn't miss anything. Thank you. Yeah, last night when you responded to, you know, we were on the show last night and you happened to be listening, and Nicole was talking about how, I don't know, her aunt or somebody was into the Eastern Star. Was it Eastern Star? Was that what it was? And you, I mentioned that your family, one of your family members was into that. Like, you know, we're going to talk, I want to talk about that some night. Last night was not the time to do it, but to focus on that. But I want to focus on that some night. I think God's getting ready to expose some things. That's what I'm seeing happen. You guys, you and Terrence both, you know, we're going to war, and or at least I know I'm going to war, and I don't know what that means for anybody else. I guess it means we all go to war. I really don't know. I'm not dragging anybody into a war here, but I'm not sure exactly how that's being ignited or how it's going on, but I'm already seeing the results from it as far as the intensity and the rebuttal of the enemy in some ways, because as we get ready to expose him for who he is and what he is, and instead of his lying, deceiving, making himself look like he's good when he's not, he's his ulterior motive, Satan's motives are, you know, totally evil, totally wicked, and he tries to mask them through people, you know, at different times. And, you know, I'm talking about people that you know, that don't even really know Jesus as far as know him. And he'll say to them, get away from me, I never knew you, you know. But anyway, to expose, you know, that Eastern Star thing. And I got off the show last night and I was going through my text again and I remembered your text there and I'm going like, why didn't we talk about that last night? You know, because I wanted to focus on some of the things, but we are, you know, God is putting the pieces of the puzzle together. And we are about to see God expose things for what they really are, right? Like our grandmothers and our mothers and fathers who didn't get blessed with the teachings and wisdom that we have had through some of the great teachers that we've had over the many years in all different kinds of places. They didn't have a lot of that. They got involved in things that they didn't have a clue what they were doing that was very demonic, very evil. Like if my mom and dad would have known that Ouija boards were evil, they would have never let me and they weren't my cousins, but they were like my cousins. I only did it one time in my life. But that one time, I saw the evil in that right away. And I was just a little kid. I remember how old I was, like, I was even in the first grade, first, second grade, maybe. I don't really remember. I got very young. And I started school when I was 5. That's how young I was. And I remember the evil in that, Tanisha, Terrence. I remember the evil that I felt on it, and I didn't even know what evil was, you know, except for maybe dark dreams that I had and, you know, fearful dreams I had. I kind of knew that room a little bit. But as far as, you know, something like that beyond a bad dream or, you know, seeing a movie that scared me, you know, like even The Wizard of Oz scared me. I don't know why I'm talking about this, but you know, even The Wizard of Oz scared me when I saw that Wicked Witch, man. I said, dude, that woman, you know, as a kid, I want that woman as bad. I mean, evil bad. Like, we got the good kind of bad and we got the bad kind of bad. That woman was, like, bad, evil bad. Like, woo, and it made me nervous. Like, I thought her face just, you know, they did such a good job on her face. You know, that movie was made back a long time ago. It made an imprint on my mind. And so I think I had a little bit of thought about evil, but, man, I saw that thing, that Ouija board, and it was unrevealed to me as a kid. And it's like I heard the devil say, you know, I didn't literally hear him say this, but I felt this thing of, I'm going to get you or something, you know, like it scared me, like, oh, my God, it's going to get me. And so, you know, I think to a certain degree, you know, I had to pray a prayer of getting free of that. So I can see us going to this place to where we're exposing anti-Christ, not just that Nathaniel Rothschild person, but the spirit of it. Like your aunt or whatever it was that was part of that, and like Nicole's aunt was too. I think it was her aunt. Anyway, so to expose all this stuff and to cleanse and wash our genes, to wash our past, because once something gets exposed by the Holy Spirit, it cleanses us, it washes us in ways that we don't even know we're being affected by it. Things that compromise us, you know, with things we haven't even done, you know, ourselves, but that are somehow there, and God is getting ready to expose a lot of this stuff and to make it, you know, where people can see this is this. We're taking the mask off, you know, taking the mask off, and you're going to see this thing. It had a pretty little face on, but when the mask got taken off, you saw how evil and wicked that it really is, and people are going to run from it instead of, like, be friends with it. You know, we're going to start seeing this stuff. And so you guys are a big part of that, I feel like. And, you know, because our whole job, I know my job is, I'm talking more about it all the time. I'm really opening up to it a lot. I'm starting to talk more than I should probably, but I feel like it's time. I think the reason that God's letting me talk about some of this stuff and even revealing more to me, because it's time. It is time. And the revealing of the Antichrist, that is part of my mission in life from God, is the revealing of him, which God gave me his name, is to reveal, you know, like when I sent my first picture of him, of Nathaniel Rothschild in his dark red hair when he was younger. I think later he kind of colored his hair red, but at that time his hair was really, you know, real. And the picture I got, I have it on my phone right now. And I sent pictures of the real red heifer, the one that they came up with from Texas, that's really red, red, and his red hair, the same exact color, right? And so in my own little way, I'm exposing him as the Antichrist. You know, so what is that? That's the revealing of the Antichrist. And so we are part of that. And so since you guys are part of that, we're all part of it together, our mission is to uncover that. And believe me, we're going to have resistance. We will have resistance. And, you know, we've declared war. I've declared war as a prophet. And I know when I'm hearing that coming out of my voice, I know, I don't know exactly what all it means, but I know it means, like when Moses told Pharaoh, he said, let my people go. And then he threw down a rod, and the rod gobbled up there. His authority gobbled up their authority. That was very intimidating for Moses, for Pharaoh. Pharaoh was like, I think he's challenging me going to war. I think he wants to, you know, we'll see who wins this war. Yeah, your people are going to have to start getting their own, you know, and he started making it hard on him. That's how they do it. And so we have to recognize that when the counter strategy of the enemy comes in and rebuts us, and rebukes us, so to speak, we have to understand what's going on, because if we don't, we could be deceived by it and think, well, it doesn't really do anything, which is kind of what happened to Israel. They, like, were so upset because the mask was about to come off, and they weren't quite ready for it, but they got ready after 10 plagues. So anyway, there you go, something about all that. And Jesus, we thank you, Lord. And of course, we have to have provision for that. God's going to bring provision for all this somehow or another. We've already made the gold and silver transfer over. We come out of the system in that way. That was a, I didn't even realize it at the time, October the 4th, 2023, was a, to maybe even my bank and the people that know, because they know, if you're connected to the system, they know I made a transaction. And they watch the system, and they watch what I'm doing too, very closely. They really do, believe it or not. And so we're starting to rattle some cages. We began that with Reveal the Name of Antichrist, September the 11th, September the 12th, 2022. So really important. This is where we're going. This is what's happening. We need to just own up to it in a sense of, yeah, okay, God, this is what you want to do. Are you going to protect me? You're going to keep me? You're going to watch over me? You're going to provide for me? And I'm going to be blessed because I'm doing the will of the Father at a time in history that no one has ever seen or known before and experienced. Never. We are going to walk in that. Yeah. All right. Anyway, okay, good to be with you. All right, 202-722. Can we talk to your friend, please?
Hey, how you doing, Randy? It's Daryl, Paul, and Nicole.
Yes, okay, good to have you guys. All right, of course, we know where you're from 4 or 5 times, I think. Hey, thank you for that. All right, God bless you guys. I don't know if, Daryl, if you were able to listen to our little show last night with having Nicole on. I think I think everybody on the show we talk about all kinds of things, and you know, and God is you know, doing some things. I think the crew that we have with PGN, we need to unite together the best we can, and you know, believe God to you know, the army that we have here and the calling that we have before the Lord is so precious, it's so beautiful that the enemy hates it, of course, and so he tries to bring, you know, trouble. He will bring trouble. It's like Pharaoh brought trouble on Israel when we actually start combating against him on purpose, which we are now doing. You know, it's just gonna stir up some stuff, and so that's why, you know, we talk about God's protection. When we talk about, I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you, because we're going to find that activation of that promise at more needed than ever. Because those who have chosen to go to be of the army of the Lord, we're going to experience. We've been experiencing a lot of training, going through a lot of stuff. Everybody has specialized training in different things. I'm specialized training in what I'm doing. I believe God's specialized training you, Daryl, in your stuff. I know Nicole and hers. I know others listening tonight. You're being trained in your arena. Not everybody's going to be doing what I do. I'm not going to be doing what other people do. It's all going to fit together like a big happy family, you know, and an army at the same time. When that's what they say about people that go to war together. You hear these, I watch these shows, these documentaries, and about these guys that went to war, how when they fought together and died together and lived together, that it knit them together. You know, they were more brothers than they ever were when they started out. They started out, you know, okay, we're going to war together. But when they got through, you know, those who made it and lived through it were more blood brothers than they ever were. And they've never lost that connection. So that's what I feel like, that the PGN people, we've been through some things together, but what we're going to experience, the glory of God, the power of God, the victory of God, the protection of God. We're going to watch, you know, God, you know, expose Satan in different ways that he's never been exposed before. And I think, you know, you have your little part in that, like I have my little part in that, Daryl, and God's going to, you know, begin to open your eyes more to what's really of God and what's really not of God, you know, and put it to the acid test, because we need to know for sure individually what God has blessed and what God is not blessing, because anything that's not of a blessing will mess with us. So he says, come out from among them, be holy, be separate, because he's saying, you know, I want you to eat and partake of and live in the holy things of God. Because anything that is not holy is going to become no longer just kind of not so good. It's going to become unholy. It's going to be made known as unholy. So may God reveal to you all the things in your life that that could possibly be, go that direction. I know he's doing that with me. He's showing me a lot of different things that sanctifying me, setting me apart, just like I'm asking to do. But I think now I'm more ready for it. I think we're all more ready. I think you're more ready for it, Glenn, Daryl, Paul. And so thank you, Jesus, for that preparation you've been doing in his heart. God, thank you for his love for you. Thank you for the power of God in him. Thank you for letting him walk in that no compromise position by the Spirit and not just by our intellectual reasoning power. And thank you, Lord, for delivering the goods to him, and letting him be the person who the goods you want to deliver through him to other people, that he will be a vessel of honor, and let you do that through him, whether that be finances, whether that be wisdom, whether that be correction, whether that be love, whatever it be, rebuke, whatever it is, God, that he will be your vessel that you can do that through with love and compassion and strength. Amen. All right, and Nicole, thank you, Jesus, for Nicole. Thank you, Lord, for the show last night. It was really awesome. Was really awesome. I want to do a show. I talked to Tanisha about that, her grandmother being part of that Eastern Star thing, or her aunt or somebody, whoever it was. And so I got a feeling we're going to, little by little, open up and share anything that is anti-Jesus, anti-Lord God, anti-Christ. The reason they use the word anti-Christ, as you know, is because it reveals who Christ, you know, the Christ, the Son of God, the one who died on the cross and rose again from the dead. And, yeah, so thank you, Lord, for that. Anything anti-God, we're going to, God's going to use us to shine the light on it, to use you, Nicole, to shine the light on those things that are anti, that are not pure and of the Father, so that it, whether it be in us or around us or in other people, so that we can help them and save them, if you will. We don't birth them in the kingdom, but we save them from themselves, save them from a lot of compromising destruction, so that they can, you know, walk in purity of love and revelation of heaven, knowing that when God's on your side, who can be against you? And that's really what God's going to work in us. If I'm for you, who could be against you? But do we know any area that we don't have pure before God, you know, in our teaching, in our revelation, whatever it is in my life, he's been showing me a lot of different things. It keeps me from having, you know, the full wisdom of God, the full insight. It opens me up to things that can cause unnecessary pressure and problems. Right, so he's closing all those doors, and he's opening up doors of revelation of Jesus, of the Christ, so that we can see and recognize anything that's not of him and rescue people from it. It's our job, is to rescue people by applying the Lord Jesus and who he is to people and the revelation of him. And amen. Thank you, Lord, for that and that blessing in Jesus' name. All right, and being on target. Yeah, and the target thing. I thought about that today. I still have that little bag sitting here on his table. I have it kind of, the table kind of, the top, the lid goes up and down, you know, a foot and a half or so. And it has this thing, and I tied it down there. It's still sitting there today, the target bag. It has a little target on it. I didn't know what I was doing. I tied it down there. But it's still there. It's amazing. On target. We're on target. All right, 325-280. Can we talk to me from, please?
Chris from Texas.
Hey, Chris. All right, Chris. Thank you, Jesus, for Chris. God, I thank you, Lord, for all the adjustments, God, that you're making. And, you know, in our thinking, we're, you know, walking through this thing of what true peace is, what brings true peace, the things that try to rob us of our peace that God is showing us. He's going to take you through tests, through things like he's been taking me through tests, showing me what true peace is, because when we have true peace, it doesn't matter what it is. Nothing can take that away from you. And, you know, whether no matter what it is, that God is showing you how to keep your true peace with God, so that sometimes we, you know, like when certain things happen to us, we can become afraid. We walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I mean, and we walk through a thing and we start, you know, becoming fearful, you know, and lose our peace because, you know, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because thou art with me. So God is really picking you through some valleys, showing you how to maintain your peace, because when you have no fear, you have peace. And where there's true faith, where there's true peace, there is no fear, right? You know, because you know he's with you. And I see, I've been doing this little thing on the Holy Spirit where Jesus said, you know, I'm going to go away, and I'm going to send him to you. Which really meant they were upset because he was leaving, right? But the truth was, he was going to be inside them by the Holy Spirit, which was closer than they'd ever been to him before. So when he came back, you know, he said, "I'm going to come to you," you know, but it's by the Holy Spirit. And so when the Holy Spirit came, and all of a sudden they had Jesus in them wherever they went. They didn't even have that before. When they were walking with Jesus and he was in the earth and they'd be fishing or whatever they'd be doing, and he had to send one of them to town and go get some bread or something, or go get some whatever it is, if they ever had to do that, if he didn't just make, you know, whatever they needed. But anyway, they had to go off by themselves to go do some things. Oh, go, you know, give some money to the widows and the orphans over there in, you know, the town about 5 miles down the street. So they had to walk by. So when they went, they didn't have Jesus with them, right? They knew where he was, but you know, when they were gone, they were gone from him. But now the Holy Spirit's come. Now wherever they go, whatever they do, he's closer to them than they've ever been before. And that's what I see God showing you, Chris, is the reality of that. That it's not about Christ being in heaven and he's our Savior and Lord. It's about, hey, I'm with you. I'm with you, and I'm going to show you how to maintain peace, a peace that passes understanding. But there's not going to be any fear of any kind, fear of death, fear of destruction, fear of loss, fear of anything, because you know that he's with you and that whatever thing is taken from you temporarily, God's going to bring it back to you, like he did Job, going to bring it back to you and multiply it, increase it, and double it. Why? Because it didn't cause you fear, and you didn't start cursing God. Oh, yeah, well, you know, I don't get it. You know, and instead, like Job, he said, though you slay me, yet I'm going to praise you. And it revealed that Job really had no fear. I mean, he really didn't fear. I mean, he said he had natural fears. He had, you know, he had children, he had family. And when we have children, we have family, we don't know what they're going to do. You know, we can pray and believe God, they're not going to do anything to mess their lives up or cause, you know, problems, but we can't control them, right? So there's a little bit of natural fear we have of those things going, but a demonic fear, you know, Job found, they found that he didn't have any of that. And that's why God knew that when he tested him, he said, I can trust this boy because, you know what? I've seen him. He fears one thing, and that's me. He respects and honors me above all. Yeah, he's concerned his family's going to walk away from me at times. He's very concerned about that. But as far as any kind of demonic fear, any kind of ungodly fear, he had none. He had none. Therefore, no matter what was taken from him, he didn't enter into fear about it. He didn't enter into, oh, God, get mad at God and curse God, right? He said, and because of that, God multiplied and brought back to him double everything, because those things, not that they didn't affect him, but they didn't affect him in the fear realm. Like, oh, God. You know, I mean, it's like, God must have left me. God must have this. God must have that. Right? He said, I don't care what it is. No fear on this side. No fear here. Now, I know God is with me. I'm going through a valley, the shadow of death, literally. And I fear no evil because thou art with me. And I thank you, Lord, for that whole realm, that dimension with my brother in Jesus' name. To open him up to that Father in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And that's why God can restore whatever thing that temporarily are stolen or lost by the enemy, like in Job's case was a lot, but because he didn't, fear would have kept him from being able to receive the recovery and the restoration of double. But because he didn't have it, yeah. Amen. All right, 915-428. You want to talk to me from, please?
Prophet Randy, this is Daniel in Texas.
Hey, Daniel. All right, Daniel, good to have you tonight. Thank you, Lord, for Daniel. God, I thank you, Lord, for strengthening his heart right now. God, I thank you for strengthening his heart, giving him, wisdom and the clarity of the Holy Spirit. God, where he can know that he's walking with you, that you're showing him, that you're dealing with him, you're helping him. He's being led by you, even at times he's not sure what's going on. I'm not even always sure. You know, I hear from the Lord. I know the Lord speaks to me at times, but you know what? I don't know everything. And, but the one thing I do have experience in with God, knowing that, you know, many times when I don't know what's going on, I don't know how to pray, the Spirit of God, because I'm yielded to him, he's leading me and guiding me in spite of myself sometimes, in spite of my, I don't know what's happening, in spite of my not knowing everything. You know, we think we're supposed to know everything. And know exactly what God's doing. I tell you, I don't know anybody like that. You know, even Jesus, there's some things even Jesus didn't know, right? He didn't know what the second coming was. He said, only the Father knows that. Not even the Son of Man, nor the angels know that stuff. So, you know, and there's many times he went through things. You know, he wasn't sure whether the Father was going to make him go to the cross or not. Or he wouldn't have had that thought. Let this cup pass from me. He wouldn't have had that thought if he hadn't thought it's possible that he wouldn't have to go through that. That somehow, maybe like Isaac, he could just be offered up symbolically, and in God's eyes, it could be done officially, even though it never really physically happened. It's like with Isaac. The Bible says that day when Abraham offered him up, God said, I just want to see if you do it. And when he actually did do it, and God stopped him in the heart of God and in the mind and heart of God and in the mind and heart of Abraham. I mean, yeah, Abraham, he did it. He did it and it was done. So I thank you, Lord, that he didn't know. He didn't know he's going to have to. You think I'm going to have to kill my own son if I have whatever I have to do. But he didn't know he wouldn't have to. So we don't always know everything. But because Abraham had a heart, just like Daniel has a heart for God, Lord, I thank you that you're going to lead him and guide him in the whole truth and show him what he needs to know and guide him in spite of himself because he knows he's honest, he's broken, he's faithful before you, knowing that I don't know how to do everything, but God, I'm trusting you. Amen. So it's not about knowing everything and knowing everything perfectly and knowing the wisdom of God perfectly, but it's about trusting him. It's about trusting God. Not about knowing how to be led or knowing to be perfectly, you know, God. It is about trusting in God. And I thank you, Lord, that Daniel trusts you, Jesus. He trusts you. And he's learning how to trust you more. But he's trusting you. Where he's at, the level he's at, where he's at, he's trusting you, God. And because of that, you're leading him and guiding him. And he shall not fail. He shall not falter. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. 610-969. Can we talk to Ruth, please?
Shalom. Hi, Prophet Randy. This is Lisa Raquel from PA, and I just wanted to say that I really related to what y'all was talking about last night. That was really good with Nicole, and I'm also requesting prayers for Devante. Yeah, I was relating.
Oh, good. Me too.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was really good. All right. Thank you. All right. Thank you very much. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for my sister tonight. God, we thank you, Lord, for the delivering power of God, that you're going to show her deliverance. You're going to show her your deliverance, whether it's for her on her behalf, for her, for her son, for her children, for her friends, God. But mainly she's going to see that with her. She's going to be able to see it with herself because sometimes we can't, make people serve God. We can't do that. It's like Job. That's one of his biggest things with his children. It was he gave offerings for them all the time because he knew he feared God more than he feared that he feared God. He knew that if they cursed God in their heart, that it could be a problem. So, so what's he doing? He's active, man. He's at it, man. He had a natural fear, He didn't have a demonic fear. He had a natural fear knowing, and then a godly fear knowing that if his children didn't serve God, if they would have cursed God, that he knew how God dealt with things. So we know that and we walk in that. We can't control people with feeling, but I thank you, Lord, that you're going to, in her behalf, God, her faith towards you is going to activate her deliverance. And deliverance comes in so many different ways. He delivers us from things. He delivers us into God's hands. He delivers us into blessings. He delivers us from falsehood and from all the things that people try to tell us, all these things. And I thank you, Lord, for the truth shall set you free. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for Devante, God, that the truth that he can learn about truth in relationship with God, truth in relationship with Jesus. It's not just about head knowledge. It's about his truth is going to be, evaluated or the value of it's going to be, and whether it's really good or not, it's going to be from who Jesus is as a person, that God, you want to reveal your personhood to him, in Jesus' name, in the realm of truth, where he not be, sucked up and messed around with every wind of doctrine, every wind of what everybody's into that week. Right, but he will, seek you and find you, know what the Word of God says, know what the truth is, and the truth set him free. Father, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Open him up, God, to the peace of God that passes understanding so he can, not be whipped around by every thing that everybody's into or not into and not letting it affect him in Jesus' name in ways that will mess with him. Amen. It does affect us when people, life just affects us. But I thank you, Lord, that you also protect us in the midst of all that too, in Jesus' name. So protect him. Watch over him, God, and let him lean upon you like John, the Revelator, leaned upon the breast of Jesus. And then in his neediness, John was a very needy person because he was. God used him mightily. So thank you, Lord, for that. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, 910-379. You want to talk to me from, please?
Hello, Randy. This is Faye out of North Carolina.
Hey, Faye. All right. Thank you. Good to be with you tonight. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Faye. Thank you, Lord, for the end times. Thank you, Lord, for the for all the things we were learning to believe in and not to believe in, and the things that you're starting to show us. I thank you, Lord, for giving her personal understanding and wisdom, God, and what she needs to know, what where she's at, where she's going, the way you want to use her, the faith level that she has, God, of opening her up to true peace, because when you walk by faith, you have peace, because you know faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the substance of the things hoped for. Evidence. Man, when you got substance of the thing hoped for, and you got the evidence to back it up by God in the Spirit, what else do you need? Amen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence. Amen. The evidence of things not seen. Amen. Yeah, in Jesus' name. Let me read that. I want to read that. Hang on a second. Let's go. Give me a minute here. All right. I want to read this here. Let me read it right out of the word. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And Lord, I thank you that that's kind of where you're using all this stuff you've been going through for this very thing, to find real faith, the real faith at a deeper level. She already has real faith, but you're bringing real faith at a deeper level. It's the substance of the things she's hoping for. It's not just some fake thing we're trying to believe in, we're fantasizing, believe it. No, it is a substance, true faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of the things not seen. So she will have evidence, God. When you got evidence, like you're going to go to court, you got to prove something, like you a ticket got, you proved that you know, you didn't do it. You got proof, you know, you got evidence. You know, you could take to the judge. If he's an honest judge, you're going to go, oh, yeah. Who's the officer who did this? And he'll rebuke the officer. I can't believe you gave her a ticket for this. She's innocent, you know, because you have evidence. Right? So the same thing with faith and where you're going and what God's called you to do. Jesus, I thank you that you've given her a faith that she doesn't even know about, that she has touches of it. She's had a taste of it. But God, I thank you, you're going to download inside of her the faith, the real faith you have that's already inside of her. In Jesus' name, is she going to find herself walking in a substance of God she's never seen before or known before? And her hope level is going to go up the notches so fast because the evidence, she has the evidence of things that she can't see yet. And therefore she can hope with true hope, with real hope, not with some fake hope, not with some phony hope. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Substance and evidence. Substance and evidence. That's all you need. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Substance and evidence. All you need. Substance and evidence, that's all you need. Now you like that, girl. Put that in your little guitar and play it. Substance and evidence, that's all you need when you have real faith. Hey, man, I think that was good for me. I got off on it. Ooh, like a rocket. Boom. Sometimes we need to get off the ground. We need to get off that. Need to get off our beds. We need to get, you know, he said, get up off your bed, you know, get up off that mat, you know, rise up in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Because you got evidence, substance, and evidence. That's all you need, substance and evidence. Faith, that's all you need. Because you got Jesus. He's the real faith thing. Jesus is the real faith thing. Substance and evidence, that's all you need. Jesus is your substance. Amen. All right. Hey, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I'm just playing along here. As I get played, I play, right? I let the Lord play that song for you through me. Yeah. All right, 111, who am I talking to? Where are you from, please? All right, 111, are you there? Hello? maybe your number came at 111, you don't know it. You want to just say hello? Just say hello? Just say hello. I'm right here. Just say hello. All right, 111, are you there? All right, let's pray for 111. I don't know who it is. Because 111 can be anybody. Thank you, Lord, for anybody. Thank you, Lord, that you're drawing her, drawing this person through the valley, drawing them. This person is learning how to be drawn through the valleys. We're going to have valleys. Valleys are part of life, part of what's going on. And valleys are learning times. They're revelation times. There are sometimes suffering times, whether it just be minor or whatever. But they're times of learning and growing and dwelling in God and being a part of God's kingdom, being a part of what God is saying in Jesus' name, and opening up the doors of wisdom to confound the wise, to make known the riches of Christ Jesus. Yeah, so let it be done. In Jesus' name, to confound the wise, God, to those people who think they got it all together, think they know everything, and then just bring this person, you're going to bring this person through that stuff, and they're going to go like, how did you do that? I mean, how did you do that? You know, like, yeah, but it wasn't the wisdom of man, it was the wisdom of God, right? Yeah, so to confound the wise, because, you know, God's bringing you through things, they're going like, how did you make it through that? And not lose your mind or not go, just throw a fit and just go crazy. Wow, you know, God using you to confound the wise who think they know how to do everything, go through everything. And they find out that just simple relationship with Jesus, knowing him, when you walk through those valleys, there's no fear. There's no fear of death. Amen, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right. 803-991, who am I talking to from, please?
Hello, Randy. It's Angela, South Carolina. And can you pray for Jacob, my nephew?
Jacob, your nephew, of course. Yes, thank you, Lord, for Angela. Thank you for Jacob, her nephew. God, we thank you that any pain that he's going through, God, we thank you for delivering from that pain. We thank you for showing him how to be free of pain, unnecessary pain. Sometimes we go through pain. Life has pain in it. But unnecessary pains, pains that we bring upon ourselves, pains that come because of our ignorance, or not knowing. I thank you, Lord, for showing him all the different ways that he can avoid unnecessary pain, unnecessary issues, unnecessary things, and to show him your care and your love, God, that you really care about him, that you really do love him, that you really do know him, and that you're the God who has overcome all things. Right? On the cross of Calvary, Christ overcame everything. He rose again from the dead 3 days later and conquered death. And everything wrapped up in death. Anything that has death tagged to it, whether it's physical death, emotional death, mental death, whatever the death realm is, he conquered it. And I thank you, Jesus, for Jacob getting hold of the conquering power of Jesus Christ. Amen. To conquer death, hell, and the grave. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Yeah, just bring him to the Lord in ways he's never known or seen. Let Jesus become very real to him as a person that he knows. And in Jesus' name, open up the heavens, God, and pour out a blessing on Jacob tonight, dear Jesus. Amen. Where he learned how to trust you instead of trusting himself. Amen. Have confidence in you and in your abilities. Amen. And knowing that his own abilities can only save him from the things that he can work, that he can do. If he can't work it or do it, then what's he going to do then? Fall apart? No. You're going to trust God. Amen. In Jesus' name, give him wisdom and peace in Jesus' name. Settle his heart right now in Jesus' name. Amen. To know you, God. Amen. The convicting power, the drawing power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for Angela tonight, Jesus. I thank you for her feet, that where she walks, God, that everywhere she walks, God, the soles of her feet tread. Jesus, that you are, calls her to, when the soles of your feet tread places, there's something that goes on. The feet are very special place. Blessed are the feet of those who bring good news. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for her feet. Thank you, Jesus, for where she walks and where she's walking and where she's going, where she's not going, where she's not been yet. God, that she will know that, her walk with God will take her places that she's never been before, and it's going to be an adventure that she's never seen or known, and you're going to show her all the way through it that though sometimes we don't know what we're doing, that God loves it when we get out of the boat. He loves it when we step out. He loves it when we, you know, especially when we say, Lord, are you there? You want me to walk in the water? He goes, of course, Jesus, what's the Lord going to say? No. No, he's going to say, yes, come on. And we start sinking sometimes, and he's right there to make sure that we get another chance to do it again, 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 until we perfect it and walk in the perfection of Jesus, of how to trust him, how to just look to him. It's about relationship. It's not about how much knowledge we have. It's about our relationship with him, being able to be corrected when he wants to correct us, being able to let him love us when he wants to love us, being able to receive from him things that we, you know, might not understand. Amen. Like sometimes, you know, praying in the spirit, speaking in tongues. I mean, you don't know what you're saying. I mean, I've had a lot of people tell me that you don't know what you're saying. No, the Bible says we don't know what we're saying, but we'll walk by faith. And the Bible literally says that, you know, you're speaking in heavenly languages with heavenly information. You're praying directly to God. And there is, it's the purest form of prayer that there is. But people don't understand it because you don't really know what you're saying. You know, it's a faith thing. It's one of the biggest faith things that I ever did that ushered me into a place with God that I thought I'd never be. Yeah, cause when I got saved with an error speaking in tongues, praying in the spirit. I got born again. I was filled with God's love. I was born again. I mean, I had fellowship with God. You know, people saw my face. They knew I was no longer Randy Chandler that I used to be. I was a different person. I got that way before I got baptized in spirit and speaking in tongues. But man, when I got baptized in spirit and speaking in tongues, man, oh my God. I went to a level of amazing. And so God's going to take any fear off of you, the fear of heights, the fear of going places higher. Amen. In Jesus' name, doctrines that have been pushed around out there that people talk bad about the Holy Spirit, God's going to really deal with that with those people in Jesus' name and the things of God. And show you how to come in agreement with him in new ways, to be really blessed by him, and to conquer and walk in the spirit. Yeah, that's what he wants. Amen. I'm going to do it in Jesus' name. All right, 402-650. Who want to talk to Refill, please? Okay, this is John and Melissa. I think they go to bed early. Not me. All right, thank you, Lord, for John and Melissa. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the basic everyday life that they live. God, I thank you for John, showing him how to enjoy his life every day, you know, how to be rid of condemnation, being rid of things that try to ruin his day, you know, especially when we start getting free and feeling really good about ourselves, start loving ourselves. Man, condemnation just tries to come and spoil all of it. How dare you? You know, there's people suffering around the world, and here you are enjoying yourself. How can you do that? You know, when Jesus did it, he walked in joy. He walked in, he walked in joy. He walked in peace. He learned how to, you know, to enjoy everyday life as well as getting the mission done that God had for him to do. And he enjoyed it. So God's going to show you more and more how to enjoy life in Jesus' name and still accomplish the goals. You know, the deep walk with God and all that. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you for helping him in his sufferings, God, the things that he goes through, to that we suffer, that we don't always know the answer to things. God, I thank you, Jesus, that you showed him how to suffer with you by trusting you. We don't know what to do. What do we do? We trust in God. We just trust in him. And when you trust in him, you know, he takes you through things. We don't have to know how to get through everything and have every, you know, key one, key two, key three on how to do things. You know, he is our key. He is the substance of our life. And I thank you, Lord, that as John fellowships with you and relationships with you, that you're just going to, through a friendship, going to take him through things easy and show him your real ways, how to enjoy life and still get the mission done. That's a very important for God, the thing you're born to do. Amen. A good balance of that. Balancing the scales in that. Thank you, Lord, for Melissa. Thank you, Jesus, for blessing her, God. Thank you, Lord, for activating her faith, Father, so she can, you know, believe you for things, new things that she's never believed you before. You know, new the gifts of the Spirit, the blessings of God, the peace of God, how to forgive, how to be blessed, how to understand, you know, how to understand the Word of God, and how to apply it to yourself so you can, you know, it can become real for you in more and more ways. Amen. So it's not just one little part, two little part, three little part, but you, in any part you're involved in, God will show you how to relate it to yourself so you can identify with the Word of God and become a victor, become victorious. Amen. In Jesus' name, you're a victor. Melissa, you're a victor, not a victim, a victor. You're blessed and favored in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, 303-386. Let me talk to you from, please.
Right, Randy. It's Mike.
Hey, Mike. All right, I barely heard you there. All right, thank you, Lord, for Mike. Thank you, Jesus, for the substance of his faith, God. I thank you, Lord, that, you know, real substance comes from our relationship with God. I thank you, Lord, that every tragedy, everything that tries to affect him and push him around and shove him around, God, that sometimes you cause him to rise up. You know, sometimes when I get pushed around long enough, I finally just say, you know, about certain things in certain areas, I say, that's it. I've had it, you know, in Jesus' name. And I enter into a place of the warrior inside of me that goes to war. And it doesn't happen all the time, but sometimes, you know, it's like we get pushed around and pushed around. Sometimes God allows it to wake us up to a new level, to a new level of warrior, of a warrior. And so I thank you, Lord, that the new warrior inside of him, God, is awakening up with new armor, with new shiny armor, new armor that is, you know, like he gave Joshua a new robe because he had, you know, that robe had gotten a little messed up and he gave him a brand new one. So I thank you, Lord, for this new robe, God, for my brother in Jesus' name. You're robing him with your righteousness. You're robing him with your power. You're robing him with your authority. You're robing him with your love. Amen. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. So we can walk in a new light. Amen. To be recognized. You know, it's having the garment on. Like when the people went to the wedding, they didn't have the right garment on. So I thank you, Lord, that my brother has the right garment on for the right occasion. In Jesus' name, so we be recognized, you know, by angels, by demons, by whatever it is. You know, Jesus wore the right, you know, he had on the right garment, and when he went in, the demons were afraid of him, amen, because of it. So I thank you, Lord, for activating that those mantles, God, inside of him. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, amen. Walking with God, my brother, walking with God, walking with God, walking. I'm walking with the Lord. Walking, I'm walking with the Lord. Amen. Lord, put a new song in his heart, a new song in his mouth. Amen. Let the spirit of victory come to him, God, like never before, Jesus. Amen. Let him sense it. Let him feel it. Let him know in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Victor. Amen. All right. Maybe somebody's name, too. I'm not sure. But 205-715, who am I talking to? Okay.
Anonymous from Alabama.
Okay, Anonymous. How are you? All right, good to have you tonight. All right, thank you, Lord, for Anonymous. Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for the secrets and the fear of the Lord, for the secret place of God, and for the fear and reverential awe of God. Lord, that those the things in her life that you're teaching her how to trust you in, that is the fear of God, the reverence of God. Because when we fear God, we respect him, you know, that fear, the fear and reverential awe of God is what keeps us from getting too loose with our, you know, doing whatever we think is right, you know, which we all deal with that, you know, all the time. And so thank you, Lord, that the fear of God is keeping her mind and her eyes on what pleases God. Amen. Because the whole world is doing everything but pleasing God. And the only way, the thing that pleases God is faith. And I thank you, Lord, for faith in Anonymous, God, that you're showing her how to walk in real faith, opening her eyes to see, you know, where failure has been, God, in her life. God, it's always because she, instead of faith, she walked by fear. Sometimes people put fear on us. Sometimes we're in a fear mode. Sometimes we're having a hard day, a hard time. The enemy attacks us. And we make wrong decisions. And God says, I'm going to restore those. I'm going to restore that which the cankerworm is eating, the palm worm. And I'm going to motivate you to higher levels of trusting God for your peace level to maintain. Because when the devil can rob us of our peace, it's because of fear. And I thank you, Lord, for the whole realm of fear and death, God, that you're going to show her how to, you know, walk by faith in the new level. Amen. To where fear is not easily able to attack her. But in Jesus' name, she's able to attack it. She's going on the aggressive to come against it and to fight against it and to, you know, like David. David didn't wait for Goliath to come to him. He went after him. Sometimes God calls us to go after him. The spirit of David is the kind that goes after it. And so I thank you, Lord, for Anonymous, Lord, with the spirit of David to go after Goliath and then, you know, finish him off by cutting his head off, taking his authority away from him and doing it for good. He finished, David finished off Goliath. And then all the fear that was on all the other people broke off because they thought, man, he's dead. Wow, we're going to win now. And brought great courage. Amen. All right, the spirit of David. All right, 912-339. You want to talk to Ruthven, please?
Call Prophet Randy, Angela Joy, Georgia.
Hey, Angela. All right, thank you both for Angela. Thank you, Jesus, Father, for the new ways, like the new wine, the new wineskin. Like I see you opening up to, you know, when we've been around a while and done a lot of different things, something God gets ready to take us to a new place, and so He makes it. He makes it exciting by, you know, something new. It's like getting a new car or getting a new house or getting a new friend or getting, you have that excitement of, you know, wow, something new, you know, eventually it wears off. But it's like I see this, like a new mantle, a new wineskin, something new going on with you. And God's stirring up, you know, your ability to stir up your faith and your ability to, you know, to like you get a new car, a new something. You've been needing a car for a long time, a new house, you need a new whatever. You know, you get that thing. You're like, oh my God, you know, I've actually got this, and you're enjoying it, you're loving it, you're learning about it. It's exciting. It makes you feel new, it makes you feel fresh. You know, I think this is what's going on inside of you, like God refreshing you, renewing you. You know, letting you drink a new wine of the Spirit to a new. New revelation, new understanding to, you know, show you that the old stuff that we've all, you know, we all have, it's all old when something else becomes, you know, comes in. And so God's bringing in a new age, a new season. And if we get a hold of that and walk in that, wow, the new power of God, you know, the new waves of the power of God flowing through you in Jesus' name to activate you, to, show you that you've been made for this season. You've been made for this time, for such a time as this. Yeah, in Jesus' name, for such a time as this. Man, we knew who God said that. Who said that? Who said that? In the Word of God. Amen. Esther, and Jesus, thank you, Lord. Her uncle told her, you know, who knows? He had to challenge her a little bit because she was like, you know, like, I need, what's going on? And her spiritual father, in a sense, said, you know, you've been made for such a time as this. Rise up and go do what you know you're supposed to do in the name of Jesus, and gave her this new purpose, this new thing. Like, yeah, and this new thing got her courage going so pumped up that she walked into the courts knowing that she could have been killed, and it didn't faze her at all because that new thing had entered into her. Her uncle had helped activate that inside of her. Amen, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for Angel Joy, God. Amen, for that new wine, for that new thing, for that new, yeah, that boost. Amen, on the inside. Amen, in Jesus' name, let it be done. Let it be done, God. Let it be done. In Jesus' name, let her enter into it in the name of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, thank you, Jesus. All right, 480-795, I'm going to talk to Ruthven, please.
It's Greg from Arizona.
Hey, Greg. All right, my brother Greg. Thank you, Lord, for Greg. Thank you, Jesus, for the altercation. Hang on a second here. Altercation, a noisy argument or disagreement, especially in public. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus, that it's an occasion, like a fight. Okay, like, yeah. So, you know, I just sense that like with me, I don't know what's going on with you because we don't talk, but, you know, I know you're a warrior at heart. And a warrior is a person who's for peace, because true warriors know that they're going to war for peace We're not going to war just to go to war. So it's going to create this noisy, you know, this noisy argument, disagreement thing going on, and where God's going to make it public in the sense that you know, I've had it with this. I'm not messing with this thing. I'm going to deal with this thing. And you're ready to take it on. You're ready to address it. And he's been building it up within you. And so we're getting ready to go to war. I'm getting ready to go to war. I'm going to war. I'm at war. And I wasn't, you know, until about a month ago. So I don't understand all of it yet, but something's happening in that realm. And God, I thank you for the warrior in my brother, God, that you awaken that warrior side of him, knowing that war, true war, that we have to go through is because the enemy is trying to bring dominion to dominate us with fear and trouble. And so we've got to stop that. We're going to be used to stop that through Christ Jesus, through the Holy Spirit. And I thank you, Lord, for awakening the warrior inside of him, God. Amen. That sleeping giant inside of my brother, God, in Jesus' name, that he will not be afraid of, you know, getting in the devil's face and getting in whatever the face of the lukewarmness and the things that try to plague us and do like David and go after it. In Jesus' name, ready to fight for the Lord. Because when God says go, you know, when he told David, you know, to when they came and robbed his camp and all of his warriors' families were taken and robbed, you know, he went to the priest and he said, Urim and Thummim, and he said, you know, do you want me to go after it, God? After the family, you think that would be an easy answer, but for some reason, he trusted God for everything. And the warrior side of him was trusting in God. He was a mighty warrior, but he trusted in God, which was the ultimate of peace. So his whole fight was to take down everything that stopped peace. That's why Solomon became the one who walked in peace, because David prepared the war for that, prepared the way for that, right? Yeah, so knowing that we go to war because we're made for peace, for true peace. So we have to go to war to, yeah. Anyway, so thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen. All right, 903-808. Can we talk to you, please?
This is Jeannie in Texas.
Hey, Jeannie. All right, thank you, Jeannie. Thank you, Lord, for courage, God. I thank you for strength. Thank you for God giving you a new realm of courage, a new realm of strength, a new realm of, I see you shaking things off, shaking things down, like things that try to mess with you, you know, just, thoughts, things, the enemy trying to, you know, and you're really rising up, because I think we're in a time of war right now. We're entering into war. We've been being trained for this. So sometimes some of us have, I know, like me, I kind of went to sleep to a certain degree, you know, knowing I'm made for war, I'm a warrior, and yet I'm sitting here going like, you know, where's the war at? And one day, all of a sudden, boom, it hits, and then something in me just woke up and go, oh my God, I'm made for this. Like when on my birthday, when Israel went to war on October the 7th, you know, and I just like, oh my God, you know, like I literally, Jeannie, literally asleep in bed, I turned the TV on to see what's going on. And oh my God, you know, the Lord says, happy birthday. Israel's gone to war. I go, oh my God. And the Lord says, you know what I mean by that? A happy birthday, you know, wake up, because this is what you're born to do. It's like he was waking me up, like going, you're made for this. You're made for this. And so God's showing you what you're made for. He's going to give you, like Joshua, he's going to give you courage. Like with me, it's like the courage has been within me, but I needed something to activate it. I need something like war activated my courage. Like I'm ready to go, you know, get this thing done. Just take care of business, you know, because we're never going to have true peace until we, you know. So I thank the Lord for that courage, giving her courage, God, like you gave Joshua, to take the land. I know you literally just took your land, your property, you know, months ago, but how long has that been now? Has it been a year? I don't even remember. I'm kind of getting lost in all this stuff, but I know you just took your land, took your property not long ago, and it's like, you know, the Joshua thing, you know, this whole deal about giving him courage. Because he was in fear. You know, he was a man of God. He was a servant of the Lord. He was Moses' right-hand man and was faithful and loyal. But all of a sudden, he felt something changing because Moses was no longer the leader, and now it's falling on him. And so he's having to, like, you know, something in him was having to wake up, like, I don't think I can do this, God. I mean, this is not me. I'm like a follower. I'm like a I can leave, but I'm certain, you know, what am I going to do? And like, it's all of a sudden, you know, things that were in him that he didn't even know. God says, fear not. Because he was fearful. Not fearful in a demonic way, but just fearful like, you know, hey, you know, I've never done this before. I don't know what's going on. I've never led before. I never led like this. But I thank you, Lord, for that leadership thing in her, God, and giving her courage and letting the things she's gone through or the things she hasn't gone through to go like, okay, you know, everything I've been being trained for is for what we're heading into in Jesus' name. And, yeah, God, give me courage. Give me courage. Give me strength. Amen. That is supernatural. That is beyond me. God said, I'm going to give you grace, unmerited, undeserved favor for this time and season to give you courage that is beyond any courage you've ever known before. God's going to give you supernatural spinal backbone courage for the season, just like he did Joshua. Joshua had it in him. It's like you got it in you, but he had to, you know, wake it up, if you will, or open it up or activate it. And I thank you, Jesus, for activating that with Jeannie, God, that's already there. Not something I'm putting in you or someone else putting in you or some other, it's something that God put in you. And one day he just says, okay, you know, this is the time. It's no longer delays in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for such a time as this, God. You've made your people, you've made Jeannie to, I'm going to find out that this is the thing, this time, this season is going to bring great satisfaction to me in Jesus' name, because I'm made for it. When you're made for something, until you're doing it, you're not totally satisfied. You're not totally happy. You're not totally free. You're not totally in peace. You're not totally walking in what you know you're supposed to walk in. But man, as soon as it shows up and it like wakes you up, you go, oh my God, wow, I'm starting to feel like I got purpose. I'm starting to feel like I got something, you know, and I'm made for this. I never realized I was made till it looked me right in the face. I mean, when Goliath looked David right in the face, and David looked Goliath right in the face, he said, man, I'm made to take you down, boy. You're going down. Yeah. So I thank you, Jesus, for that courage, that supernatural courage, not just human courage, supernatural, God, that you gave Joshua and blessed Jeannie with that, God, because it's time for her as she activates this new level of faith, activates this new level of courage to take down those impossible things, and whether it's praying for other people or believing God for herself for new things, whatever that is. In Jesus' name, how it's going to take the supernatural courage of God to do it, because the land of the giants, they're holding on to that stuff and they ain't going to let go. Like when Israel walked in, they had to take down the giants. Amen. In Jesus' name. And Joshua was the one that led that. And they had great victory. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for Jeannie. All right. 864-313. Who am I talking to, your friend, please?
Yeah, Walter from South Carolina.
Hey, Walter. All right. Good, Walter. Good day. All right. Thank you just for Walter. Thank you, Lord, for the times and the seasons, God, that, you know, God's going to cause you to question things. Just like he does with me. He has me, you know, looking at things. You know, I'm not afraid to quit like Job when all his friends said, you know, your life's falling apart. You got all this stuff going on. You've done something. We know you have to, because the Bible says you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. But it was not true. None of it was true with him. You know, and so he had to, but he was not afraid to examine himself, Walter, as you know. Job was not afraid to go, okay, you know, well, let me look. Because a true mature man is not afraid to look and see, do I have that problem? Is that in me? Do I do that? Do I, you know, what about that? And so he wasn't afraid to look. And because he wasn't afraid to look, therefore he faced the giant in the sense, and that was sometimes what other people think that we got or don't got. And we look at it and say, no, I'm not doing that. You know, Job told him, I'm not doing that. And they got more mad at him. You know, what are you doing? We know you had to do something wrong. You just lost all your children. You lost all your wealth. Now you're living with a grieving wife who's lost all her children. And she's telling you to curse God and die. And you don't think he's done anything? Okay, let me examine myself again. I'm just, you know, no. And he truthfully before God. And God knew he was a blessed man. And he was faithful man and a loyal man to God. And he said, brothers, I've checked, I've looked, I'm not afraid to look, I'm not afraid to check. And I'm not afraid of correction. I'm not afraid of, you know, that. So now I've looked, and before God, I stand. So when God said, you know, those, your brothers, your friends who, you know, basically accused of all those things. He had to forgive him and bless him. And when he did, it doubled him. When he did, it doubled him. In Jesus' name, it doubled him. In the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. It defined him as a new person. Yeah, it defined him. He became a new person, a new man. He became the man of double for your trouble. Amen. And that's what Walter got in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. He's not afraid to look it, see if he has that issue, that problem. Check his foundation, make sure everything's good. Not afraid to look. Amen. If we're truly men of God, women of God, we're not afraid to look and see. And we look and say, maybe I do have that thing. Okay, well, yeah, got that. So what? Let's get rid of it. Move on. Now I'm stronger. Now I'm better. Now I'm bigger. Now I got more faith. Now I'm walking with God. I know it. I have less fear about that. I'm not fearing anything in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for helping me, leading me and guiding me into all truth in Jesus' name for Walter and blessing him, God, and doubling him and increasing him in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, 240-482. You want to talk to me, friend, please?
Valerie from North Carolina.
Oh, hi, Valerie. All right, Valerie, good day tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for that peace of God that passes. Thank you, Lord, for giving her wisdom. Wisdom that wise as a serpent. That wisdom, I've talked about this on the show, I don't know if you listen or not to it, but I've been talking about the wisdom that's wise as a serpent is different from just regular common wisdom. Like we just talked about Job's friends. Job's friends gave him wisdom from the Bible, but it wasn't God's wisdom. It wasn't, you know, because Job was going through something very unique, and they just went by common biblical wisdom, like you reap what you sow, you have to, you know, have done something wrong. And the truth was they needed a higher level of wisdom because they were just looking for, they were reasoning things out wrong. So I think in order for giving Valerie wisdom, God, that is a higher level, that the wisdom is as wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove, gentle as a dove. And thank you, Lord, for giving her that wisdom, giving her that revelation, giving her that understanding, God, in Jesus' name. So when she's dealing with something, she doesn't just look at it the common, basic Christian way. She considers all that, but she lets God give her that wisdom that's wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. That's totally harmless, but wise, in Jesus' name. That wisdom, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So we don't become subject to people's shenanigans or whatever the enemy's thought process they try to bring to us, but we walk above it because we see what he's trying to do and we don't yield to it. I mean, we yield to God and we walk with God and we choose God and the faith of God in Jesus' name. And then God can bless us because of that, increase us and multiply us because we're like Job would have never gotten double had he listened to their wisdom. And they were very good friends. They loved him. I think they really were on his side. But they only looked at biblical wisdom, you know, and one-sided biblical wisdom instead of, you know, the Spirit of God. And so, yeah, amen. All right, Jesus' name. Bless her, God. Amen. Raise her up. All right, 469-553. Who am I talking to, your friend, please?
It's Barbara from Texas.
Hey, Barbara. All right, Barbara, good day, everything. Thank you, Lord, for Barbara. Thank you, Jesus, for her peace realm, the walking in peace, walking in true peace. Sometimes in order to have true peace, we have to step into the territory where the lies and deceptions in people's lives that, you know, whatever that's going on, we have to help them face those things to walk in true peace, to walk in true, you know, peace that nothing can mess with, that nothing. Because when you know the truth and the truth sets you free, that there's no lie that can, because lies, as you know, that people believe lies, people believe things that are, you know, doctrinally untrue, whatever the thing is, who we are, we don't really know who we are, we don't know what God wants us to be, and because of that, we come short of the glory of God, and every lie, you know, is what causes us to come short. So, Lord, I thank you for the Spirit of truth. You said the Spirit of truth to Barbara. To lead her and guide her into all truth. All truth is whatever truth is needed, whether it's for another individual or for yourself, or whatever that is, God, in Jesus' name, because this time and season, God, we are believing you to activate in us this newness, this understanding that we're not walking in the old. The old things don't work for now. I mean, the old things are old. You know, God's getting new wineskin, new wine, you know, and so, you know, we're going to have to deal with people like the wise virgins and the foolish virgins. The wise virgins had to tell the foolish virgins, I'm not giving you my all. You know, I mean, who would think, you know, most Christian people go, that's not very nice of you to do that. That's not very nice. Well, you know, you should be a good Christian and share. But, you know, the Bible talks about that they were wise, you know, and that they told the ones who didn't, who knew better. They obviously, they told them they knew better, or they wouldn't have treated them like that. You knew better, and yet you didn't know. You didn't listen. You knew better, but you didn't obey. You knew better, but you did your own thing. And you know what? I can't give you my oil, you know, because you knew better and you didn't do anything. You took the wisdom you got, like swine, and you didn't take the advice, didn't take what you were given, and now you're there and you want to, no. So God, I thank you for giving her that wisdom of a wise virgin, Father, in Jesus' name, and knowing that that we just don't flop around and do what people think we should do. If you're a good Christian, you should do this. Yeah. You know, well, you had the image of God as a good man. I had the image of God as a resurrected Lord God, all savior. He's almighty. He's all knowing. He's sovereign. He does whatever he wants to do, whatever he has to do to get the job done. And he's the only one that knows. And he'll allow people to go down. He'll allow people to be raised up. To even sometimes he'll even allow an evil king to be raised up to get God's people to repent and get right with God and then bring in a good king. You know, I mean, God can do whatever he wants. And it doesn't make any sense. And God's not a good man. He is a good God, a truly good God, but he's sovereign and he's Lord. And he doesn't think like a good man. He thinks like he is God Almighty, and nobody's like him. You know, nobody thinks like him. Nobody acts like him. Nobody can do what he does because he knows what he has to do, how he has to do it. And he doesn't ask permission. Amen. He just does it. All right. 863-808. Who would talk to you from, please?
Hey, Randy. This is Cheryl from Florida.
Hey, Cheryl. All right. Good to have you tonight. Thank you, Lord, for Cheryl. Thank you, Jesus, for the fan that blows. God, that cools her off, God, and also blows away the dross, blows away the things, you know, the things that try to weigh us down, try to mess us up, try to affect us, that she has that fan. If you don't have the fan on, you know, the fan that blows of the Lord, it that's what blows away the chaff. That's what blows away the things. We end up with the harvest, but the chaff, the fan is what, you know, blows and blows away the things that way, you know. So I thank you, Lord, that she has that fan blowing in her, God. It's from you, from the Holy Spirit. It's the wind of the Spirit of God. And the seed of the harvest is falls to the ground and it's weighty and it stays there, but the wind blows away the things that are now no longer valuable. Because we've talked about many times before over the years is that, you know, when I'm an old farmer, and I know when you plant a wheat seed, you plant it as one seed, it grows up and puts about 100 seeds in there. And then once it turns to golden, like a golden harvest color, it means to get ready to harvest, the seeds are ready to rot. All of a sudden all that rest of that plant that was extremely important for the growth of it, for the maturity of it, for it to even live and have what it is, all of a sudden all that becomes valueless, and the harvest, the seed is all that's important, and everything else that used to be valuable, it dries up and it blows away, and the fan is what blows it away, right? Some people don't have that fan turned on. They don't have that God turn that fan on to blow those things away, where we're left with just the harvest and all the other stuff that used to be valuable, used to be important, are now not important anymore. Amen. It gets blown away with the wind of the Holy Spirit. And we end up with harvest. We end up with the seed in Jesus' name. Then we start the process over again. We got blessing and harvest from the seed. We got new seed to plant new crops for next year. And then multiply and increase. Every year we grow and grow and grow and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. That's what the seed process is. We plant one, we get 100. Right? That's in every area of our life. And thank you, Jesus, for the hundredfold. In Jesus' name, and for the process of growing and learning and growing and learning and growing. Then all of a sudden when the harvest comes, that which, you know, got us there, whatever, all the things we learn, ultimately becomes the focus is the harvest now. The focus is the seed that has been produced. I mean, the 100 seeds, if you will, produced. That's what the focus is. It's no longer the focus. We used to focus on watering the plant, taking care of it, the little green little thing growing up. You see those seeds starting to grow in, it becomes beautiful and powerful, and all of a sudden pretty soon one day it all turns a kind of a goldish color, and that means basically that it's ready for harvest. When all the green is gone and it's dried out and it produces fruit, and the focus is now on the seed and getting that seed and only that seed, because that's what brings our increase, our multiplication, right? Because we planted one seed, we got 100 back. We have some seed, take 25 of those seeds, you know, plant new things, and we have 75, you know, more seeds to eat and to, you know, to increase and multiply our finances and our blessings. And I thank you, Lord, for teaching her that seed time and harvest principle, how it works in every area of life, God, and choosing how the fan works, how the process works, so that she can understand that sometimes when God's blowing the old stuff away, we don't try to stop it. We let the fan blow and do its job. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for that. Amen, in Jesus' name. All right. And that will be left with just a blessing. The blessing of the Lord, the harvest, the seed, the thing, that everything we've been doing, the purpose of planting seeds and helping and doing and growing and learning is all about the harvest. And the focus on the new, that's all brand new seed, all the brand new things in Cheryl's life, God, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, let it be done. All right, y'all, all right, awesome. I think that was my last caller for now. There's more. There we go. No, that was it. I thought somebody would call in there. All right. Thank you, Jesus. 11:19. We're going to get off early tonight, looks like. Amen. Had quite a few callers tonight, and yet we're getting done faster, it seems like, easier, maybe. I don't know. Really cool. Hallelujah. Chicahuaca mate, chunco punta. All right, I'll be right back. Give me a moment. Be right back. All right, got a caller here, 804-214-218. You want to talk to the firm, please? All right, 804-218, you there? All right, no, it's Ange from Virginia. Thank you, Lord, for the total restoration, total recovery. God, we think of that God, David asked the priest, should I go recover it all? And he said, recover it all. And he got permission from God. I thank you, Lord, that all the times that she has gotten permission from God to go for a thing, the God that you're going to bring, she does that in the spirit. It does it by the obedience. God, she's going to restore all, recover all, everything and more, that she'll never lose that. She never, that'll never be taken away from her, because it's a God promise, a God word. From the Word of God. The Word of God lasts forever. The Word of God is what we look to do all of our battle. What's our battle's about is that not letting the Satan rob us by telling us, oh, yeah, you're probably going to lose that. No, all things restored. The Word of God says all things restored in Jesus' name through our relationship, through our obedience to Him. And I thank you, Lord, for that total recovery, total restoration, Father, in Jesus' name, her faith, making her faith new like a child. Making it fresh, making it new, making it alive, God, the faith of a child, the innocent, pure faith in Jesus' name, that just simply trust God. Thank you, Jesus, for that and for restoring all that, recovering all that, making it brand new in Jesus' name, and going in and robbing the enemy instead of letting him rob us. We're going to rob him. Amen. Jesus Christ is going to come back like a thief. He's not a thief, but he could come back like a thief. Is he going to take everything, amen, that's not his? He's going to take everything that's not his and get rid of him and leave so that nobody can steal and rob anymore, because he's going to take everything like comes like a thief, and he takes away everything that's not of him, the tares, all of it. He burns them up, and we're left with just where nobody can steal, cheat, lie, can take. Thank you, Lord, for the recovery of all things for my sister in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, 608-960. Who am I talking to, please?
Hey, Randy. Shannon, Wisconsin.
Hey, Shannon. All right, good to have you. All right, thank you, Lord. So this whole thing about renewal and restoration. I'm feeling the same thing with you, like God is bringing a renewal and restoration, Jesus. And, you know, like Job, you know, he felt like he got robbed of everything and couldn't figure out what was going on. And then all of a sudden, you know, here came the religious group, told him, you know, that he must have done something wrong, got him looking at the wrong things. And I think, Lord, that every religious person, everything that tried to get us looking at the wrong things, looking in the wrong direction for the answers. And Job became very persistent. He said, no, you're not right. That's not right what you're saying. I know you love me. I know you love God. I know you're wise people, but your wisdom is not right on. And he resisted their wisdom and got the wisdom from God in Jesus' name that changed his life forever. He turned around and blessed them and prayed for them, and God restored him double. Father, and so I think, Lord, that Shannon will keep his eyes on the things that are important, and he will see the things that he needs to see, know the things that he needs to know from God, and not just from well-meaning people who really mean well, but they just can't see. They're blind. We can't blame them for it or, you know, whatever, but we know that they just don't know. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And God, you'll cause Shannon, God, to walk in that like never before, and walk in forgiveness like he's never walked in before, walk in the blessing like he's never walked in before, so he can recover everything, God, that you have for him. Amen. Everything has been delayed. Everything has been questionable, stopped, whatever. God, in Jesus' name, you're going to clarify it, make it made known to him, and reveal it to him, Jesus, so that he will be like Peter when he got that revelation. Even though he still failed after he got the revelation saved him later on. Revelation came to life in him, the revelation of that Jesus is the Christ given to him by the Father. So Lord, I'm going to thank you for showing Shannon all the things that are, that you have done, that you are in his life, that no one can rob that from him or take that from him. It will take him through all kinds of troubles and things. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. All right. Cool. That's my last caller for now. I'm going to take a little break. I'll be watching the screen to make sure if anybody gets on, I will take you. So get in there. Let's pray for you.